And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John, if you would. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we have opened thy word. God and Spirit of God, you've got to help us. We want to understand that we might be able to withstand, to be able to stand holding fast your word and exercising your wonderful presence. So deal with us. Thank you and help us in every way. And our God, we're going to thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, and reminding ourselves that God, in the first 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, God presents himself, the Word becoming flesh. And that's the key. God in Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Word become flesh. And you end 21 chapters so that you what? You can understand it and believe. We need to believe to rest down upon his word and his saving grace. And so, having got the understanding that and receiving our Lord, the Lord, as our personal Savior, the Word become flesh. Finding a home in your heart and my heart. Now, having said that, now what? You need to grow. You need to grow and to know, as we shared in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, 13, 14. You need to know and grow and understand. Physically, you're born and you aren't meant to stay at 6 months old. You're meant to grow. And you're meant to grow up in order to discover why you have physical birth. You have physical birth to enjoy spiritual birth. You'll never get spiritual birth unless you had physical birth. So, in the process of having that, you need to grow up. You can't enjoy God's saving grace. God saves you and takes you from a state of death to a unique relationship to him, to himself, which gives you life, his wonderful life, to be able to enjoy his wonderful life here and now. Thus, 1 John. And there's a whole lot of oppositions as we've been doing it. To growing up, we're very earthbound. We're caught up in the earth. Our senses, and to think, we're like we've been saying, we all have AM, and we try to hear FM on AM, and it just doesn't work, but we're satisfied with it, so we're earthbound. We need to have a unique relationship to God, to enjoy God. Now, having said that. And keeping in mind chapter 1 of 1 John, that we are to have what growing up. What do you mean growing up? Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, friendship, communion, union, a participation, a sharing in common, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. To have a relationship to God, to enjoy that relationship to God in a most profitable, pleasing way. Now, having said that, now back over to 1 John. and in chapter 2, and we had shared together in the process. There's a whole lot out there against God, all kinds of things, all kinds of theories and everything else, theology and everything else is out there, religion. And we have all that. And so here's God telling us we're to have a unique relationship to Him. And having that relationship to Him in a world that loves darkness rather than light. And the world is very religious. Not right, but religious. It has religion up to here, politics up to here. We got it. And we work with that. And we have to understand that world system, that religious political system, is against darkness. It's in darkness, and it hates light. So, for the believer to enjoy Christ in you, the hope of glory, not very practical, not for us earth things. And we lose out, because that's what God did. He brought you from a state of death into a state of life, to enjoy that life in a most wonderful way. Therefore, and all around us, we shared in verse 18, little children, it is the last time, as we shared all that, so you saw that. As you have heard that Antichrist, against Christ, instead of Christ, shall come, even now, there are many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. So we understand Christ died on the cross. It's a period of grace. God is showing His wonderful person in a wonderful way in believers that come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. And this little period of grace is waiting for what our Lord's to take us home, and then comes the wrath of God. What's holding up the wrath of God? The grace of God, giving it space to know Him. Therefore, the Antichrist, so what are we going to do? It's a very, very, not like in days of Moses, not like in the days of David or Isaiah, different. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, has become flesh. And God has become visible. The invisible God has become visible. And now, in His visibleness, in His being able to see Him, you have to understand Christ, not only 3 1/3 years, His public ministry and crucifixion. And they thought when they said, crucify Him, crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. We thought we got rid of Him. We thought we knocked the light out of business so that we could enjoy darkness. But lo and behold, the only sign that He would give is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the fish's belly. And God would be 3 days and 3 nights, and then He would rise again. He said, that's the only sign I'm going to give you. But we have an empty tomb. You're right. An empty cross and an empty tomb. That's what we do. But it isn't quite empty. Why is it empty? Because Christ has risen. And He finds His home. He is to find His home in the heart of every believing believer. And thus, Christ, in the assembled body of believers, in the believing heart, is walking around on planet Earth, showing a unique relationship to God, that they've come to know the saving grace of God, and up and down the work and home and school, we go. And thus, we haven't got rid of Christ. Antichrist is strong because of that. Now, having said that, therefore, verse 20, and how are we going to cope with the unsaved and darkness? And we're just us, little old us, that's all we are. So how do we cope with that? Verse 20, But we have an unction. Remember the word unction, anointing, from the Holy One. And you know all things. All things you know all things. And in the prior, we shared all of that together. So, the word unction, anointing, Christ is the anointed one, prophet, priest, and king. All of them tabernacle, all of it pointed to one person, Christ would come. All of the Old Testament pointing to Christ. Christ is the anointed one. And all of those were anointed. The tabernacle, all of which shared all this. But in the anointing, in the anointed, in Christ being the anointed one, when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God, the anointing, you're not anointed with oil. You're not set apart like a king or such. No, Christ becomes the anointed. He anoints you. He anoints to consecrate, to sanctify, to set apart. God in Christ in you sets you apart. You're set apart for sacred service in God's wonderful plan and purpose to enjoy God's wonderful will. Now, having said that, you have an unction and you know. So what do you mean we know? We don't know everything. We don't know. Yes, we do know. And we share that. And it will not hurt to go over back over to John 14 again and again, chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up the thought, and you remember what when you got saved, you received Christ as your Savior. And when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God did a wonderful thing. Chapter 14, remember, our Lord in the upper room, verse 16, 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, another comforter, encourager, an ally to come to your rescue, to come to your need. He will give you another comforter. Why? That he may abide with you forever. Who is this person? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son and God the Father. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter of abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth in God's, God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And God brings that truth, all the truth. Chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so, Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. We received, when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, not only did we receive the Lord Jesus, but remember, because this is the issue, chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come into him and make our abode with him. God, in his wonderful fullness when you get saved, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in his awesome, awesome person, wow, will come into your heart in all of his fullness. You don't have more of God when you receive him as your Savior. You done got all of God. God's wonderful plan for you to know him and honor him. Now, having said that, and you can keep going on all of it, just to lock it in, and in verse 26, chapter 15, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Lord, what's the Spirit of God going to, what are you saying in 1 John? You have an unction from the Holy One. The Spirit of God's going to go, and Christ is going to make you set apart, and the Spirit of God is going to go, the Spirit of truth, and he is able to have, he knows everything forever, everything of anything forever of God. So, when I received him as my Savior, and you did, when you received him as your Savior, God brought his wonderful heart into your heart, and your heart into his heart, and you have a unique relationship to God. He knows it all. He knows everything. What do we know for sure? And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What do we know? Well, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God became a resident and to be president in our heart and life. And thus, in the process, as we receive the Lord as our Savior, the Spirit of God is going to go, and God has it all. So, if think of being a child in a home, and you may not know everything, or at work, or at school, the teacher, or your employer. You have a job, you're a student, you're at home, and you're there, a little baby growing up. And you are able to say, when you're old enough, make believe, and you're able to say, and someone asks you something, or someone's going to do something, or something news in the newspaper, or on television or something, some news is there, and you look at it at 3 years old, you look at it. I mean a lot. But you know what? You aren't worried about it. Why aren't you worried about it? Because your father and mother are there. They know what it's about. The boss knows what the job is about. The teacher knows what the subject is about. God knows about God being God in your life. And God knows all the answers. And all the little baby does, 3 years old, is to trust. Trust. And the baby could say, if it has, give it a little more ability, and say, the little baby could say, I don't understand what that's about, but I'm not worried about it. My father knows all about it. My father knows, and I know my father, and my father knows me. So I end up, I'm very comfortable. You're going to get upset? They say they're Antichrist? No. And all the different things come in all the ways that they do, in deception, and the Gnostics and the Greeks and everybody out there saying knowledge is this and you need to know that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that really isn't Jesus. He's just a man. And God came on him at baptism, and God left him before the cross because he's just a man. He isn't just a man. He's the God-man. And that's the whole issue. That's what it's all about. The devil, Satan, our arch enemy. You want to be like God, Isaiah 7:14. Yeah, I do. I want to be like him. But you have this. Here's the Son of God and his wonderful person who's going to go to the cross and die. And therefore, you would like to have the worship that he has. You would like to have that. But you know in your gut, what? You can never be like God. God is unique. Everything is in the middle of God. All of the 2 trillion galaxies, as they say, literally. Wow. Yeah, we don't know. But you know what? All of that is in the middle of God. Span. God measured the heavens with a span between here and here. Span. Billions of galaxies like that. It's all in the middle of God. And God, you're no one, even you, Mr. Devil. There's no way. There's no way you know better. And he does. He does. He does. And in Matthew chapter 4, just a little sidelight, chapter 4, and he tests the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And every time he tests them, he begins the sentence, "If thou be the Son of God." And remember, "if" is in the first condition, and "if" becomes "since." It's something that is true. Since you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, I know you're the Son of God. If you just worship me, you can have everything, you see, the world system. Now, having said that, drifting a bit, now, if I can, keeping that in mind, back over, if you would, to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up And so here's Satan and his accusers are doing Antichrist, chapter 2, verse 18. And you're up against that. And the reckoned, to reckon self dead in the process, to reckon, to calculate, to compute. You have to understand God has done a wonderful thing to save you. And when he went to the cross to save you, he died on the cross. He had to become a man. He had to literally become a man in order to die on the cross. God went to the cross in the perfect humanity of Christ to pay for our sin, to give us the opportunity, having our sins paid for, to give us the gift of eternal life in his Son. Because the penalty is paid. The whole case is what? Is to get what? Antichrist. He really, really didn't become a man. Because if I can keep that out there so that you stay in the dark, you can have him, God, leave God with God, but you can't know God. Look, hold your finger here. Over to Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11 again. Matthew chapter 11, picking up, if I may, in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes." People, well, we think of Romans 1, we became wise as you read that. They professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here, we're babies, right? What do little babies do? The three-year-old is going to trust the father. The three-year-old isn't worried about what's in the ice chest. The three-year-old is going to what? Is going to just be comfortable and has no problem about anything. Whatever the problem is, it looks to the father to outwork everything. And it's very comfortable, very dependent upon the humans. We're to be hugely, wonderfully dependent upon God our Father, just like that, so that we don't need all the worries and who's who and what's what. God knows, and God will help us inch by inch as we go down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, Matthew 12, verse 26, "Even so, Father, for so it is, seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You can't know the Father without the Son. In Christ, when he was incarnate, we read it in John 14, you will receive in your heart myself, said God, in Christ. Yep, let's say it another way. God in Christ in you. God in Christ. If you have seen me, said the Lord, you have seen the Father. Do that. Back over to John 14. You're right in John. John. In John chapter 14. I realize I'm wandering a bit, but I hope it helps. Chapter 14. And God is going to go and help us in every way to understand that God is going to go and bring to us all things that we need. Chapter 16. And when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And so he's going to go and wonderfully one day keep us in tune and keep us in touch with God's wonderful person so that we have everything. We're going to have it, the truth, and know the truth. And we have an unction. But the whole system, as we just said, is antichrist kind of thing. It doesn't want God to be found as a man. If we're going to think about God, we have pantheism and all the other different things, but we don't want him to be God. We don't want God in Christ for real. We don't want that because when Christ went to the cross, why did he become a man? Why did he become into flesh? So that he could go to the cross and die. For whom did he die? He died for each human being that would ever be born so that they would have a wonderful Savior, that they could be born and be born again, that they could know him as their Lord and Savior and to know him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, he died. And when he died, I died. Every human being died. And that tells me I need a Savior. That tells me I'm not able to have the righteousness of God. I don't measure up to the righteousness of God. I need to be saved. God's pronouncement against me, the wages of sin is death, and I need to be saved. If I recognize God in Christ had to go to the cross as in perfect humanity, if I recognize that, I have to understand then that I need to know him as my Lord and Savior. I need to understand him. God took me to the cross. If I can get rid of the cross, if I can get rid of that, it's all right. I can handle it. But when I look at it, and Christ died on the cross for me, that's very personal. How personal is it? It goes all the way to the depth of my heart. I am created to honor God. The big lie is when I don't honor God. And I make Christ just a man or eliminate him because I'll believe the lie. The lie. Therefore, over to 1 John and chapter 2, and if I can, verse 21. And remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve had the wonderful, wonderful were to just believe Genesis 3:15, believe that the Lamb of God, the seed of the woman, would die, Christ, the Lamb of God, would die on Calvary's cross, Genesis 3:15. That's an awesome, wonderful truth. And Adam believed it straightway. That's what they did. But in the process, they did something that revealed they needed to be saved. Adam and Eve especially, went and ate, told Adam and her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:17, you will surely die. You will surely die. And they did. What was the problem that Eve did? Eve went and had a debate. You have to go back there, Genesis 3. And the devil said, well, did the God really say that you'd die? And did God really say all that stuff? And Eve said, well, yes, I thought about it. I thought about it. And then she changed what God said. And she changed it so that she could say it. That was her sin. She changed what God said. She got saved. Now what's in her heart, though? What is the problem with the human mind? We're going to go and read something, know something, and we read the mathematical formula. You read whatever it is you have to do precisely, and you do it precisely. You're supposed to do it precisely. But we tend to want to redo it, like Moses, as we've shared, at Mount Sinai. They didn't want to hear God speak straightway to them, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus 20. They didn't want to hear God. They said, if we hear him anymore, we'll die. We'll die. So they said, Moses, you listen to God. And then you come talk to us. And then, so what? Now we're going to do. So here's the people. We don't have to listen to God directly. We don't have to go by the recipe. We're going to go and listen to God. Listen to Moses. And when we listen to Moses, what does that give us? A wonderful, wonderful freedom. Because if I'm going to let the mathematical formula stay what it is, the recipe stay what it is, but when I take it into my own mind and thinking, I'm free to change something. Why? Because I change all kinds of things. I believe one thing today, another thing tomorrow. Whatever it is, I can change what I do because it's my thinking. I can't change the recipe in the book. I can't change with God. So when I take it and tell this is how I understand it, I am free to be able to play with that and not enjoy the true fullness of the recipe. I'm able to miss out because I've made it so that I can make a judgment on what God says and who God is. And I can't change God. I can't change his word. I can't add or subtract. So I have to understand that. So now, here's in 1 John, verse 20, we read, we have an unction anointing one with the Holy One, and you know all things, and you all know. Verse 21, have not I written unto you, because I have not, N-O-T, written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So what? I wrote to you because you know. Back to the illustration where we did, the little three-year-old is trusting, dependent on the Father, and the Father has to have answers. God, the Holy Spirit, in your heart, has all the truth. He is the truth. So I don't have to know everything. I couldn't. I don't even understand everything, but God does. And God knows when darkness is there and giving me a message that isn't right about God, about truth, about whatever. And so God has to help me to keep me in the truth. How am I going to stay in the truth? I'm going to be saying to being dependent upon God. I'm not looking to anywhere else. I'm looking to God, the Spirit of truth, to keep me in the truth, for the truth, to tell the truth about God, the true God. Now, having said that, so we don't need to write. No, you don't need to write. That's what we need to get in our little head and heart. It isn't that we have all the answers. We don't. You have to trust. We can't trust the system. The system's going to lie to us. I got to trust God. And history, there's no way God, between the flowers, the very 12 functions of our body systems, there's no way you can, I told you that, you know it better than I do. There's no way to study any subject or know anything with a microscope, the telescope, whatever you want, and not come up with God. That's in my little journey. I'm telling you, there's no way to study anything. The only explanation is God. No one can make a flower. No one can make a bumblebee. But bumblebee, between a bumblebee and a mouse, no one can do that. No one can do it to God. Wow. Do what your fingers do. Your fingers, your little things, these little ridges you got that give you sensitivity when you touch things. Take the ridges away, you wouldn't have sensitivity. Here's your tongue, all of the taste buds. And as long as they're functioning, they're wonderful. But if the taste buds decide to take a rest, you don't taste. You don't taste. System. So God, there's no way to get around without you. That's why it says in Romans 1 that you read, there's no way to excuse yourself. It says it. You have no excuse. No, you don't. No one has an excuse. So, verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth, says no to, that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. So what, the Antichrist, what is, you don't, we already tried to say this in different ways to try to help us see what. We don't want Christ to be who he is, God in the flesh, to die for me, for you. That's awesome. It's real. It's needed. It's necessary. But the reality of it, for my little earthly being, my old sin nature, but I really am not that bad. Do I really need that? Yes. Because you can count on the fact that pretty soon, somewhere in the timetable, your heart's going to stop beating, and so is mine. And then you're going to know for sure. It's good to know now before you get there. Now, here, 1 John, it's a liar. What is a liar? The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. What is the spirit of Antichrist? Back over to chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. The spirit of Antichrist, it says it, so you have to guess. What are we talking about? Chapter 4, I should say, if I may. And I'm going to go to verse 2. Well, I'll read verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Thereby know ye the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of truth. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's right. He had to be born a literal baby growing up to go to the cross. He had to do it. Verse 3. And every spirit, the opposite, the net positive and negative, and every spirit that confesseth not, N-O-T, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God, but this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Spirit of Antichrist, that's what it's all about. You don't want him to be God. He is God. And when that comes, we'll boil it down even more. the real issue, we've said it 1,000 times, the real issue, that you received God in Christ in your heart. That's what you did. That's how you're saved. He saves you spiritually, body, soul, spirit. He saves you in a most wonderful way. It's for real. God, that's what they said of the Apostle Paul after he got saved. And then what were they saying about that rascal who was out to kill him, out to kill the Christians? He did him. Prison, kill him, he did it. What did they say about that guy? Of a truth, God is in you. Truth, God is in me. They said that. They didn't say, yeah, you're religious. He didn't say, you're religious. Yeah, you're a Pharisee. He is. He wants that. No. They said, God is in me. 1 Corinthians 14:25 in that. To the church in Corinth, carnal, fleshly, sitting there, and believers. And what did the unsaved say? The carnal, the unsaved, when they went out the door. Of a truth, God is in them. God indeed, truly. Not they're religious. No. They truly know God. They really do. That's what it's about. And if I can keep the spirit of Antichrist active, we never get there. We never get there because we're always playing with it. And we got that spirit that God really didn't. And if you want something to keep you awake and even make you go to sleep, lay in bed. If you receive the Lord as your Savior, well, and I receive the Lord as my Savior, John 14:20, and I am going to be in you. I am in my Father is in me, and I am in you. That's what you're going to know. I am in you. Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. The hope of glory. An awesome relationship to God that's for real. For real. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 2. And in John chapter 2, if I can, and in verse, I'll read verse 22 again. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You can't, as we read in Matthew 11, you can't know the Father without the Son. The Son dies on the cross. The Lord Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You can't get to the Father apart from the Son. God is holy in his awesome person. And Christ went to the cross and died. And he becomes the anointed one. He is the anointed one. He, Christ, the anointed. He's the one that sets us apart and makes us fit to be able to honor God and know God and enjoy God. And therefore, the Spirit of God is going to keep reminding us little three-year-olds, going to help us understand what? God saves us in a wonderful way. And why am I saved? Because God is God. Why am I saved? Because God became flesh and blood and was born and died on Calvary's cross. And when I received him as my Savior, and you, if you're saved, and I received him, I have eternal life. I don't feel it. I don't understand it. I don't need to. I know, and the believing heart knows, you have a unique relationship to God that God made possible by God himself dying and rising again and giving in your heart the Spirit of God to give you a wonderful relationship to him so that you can enjoy he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's God's doing, not mine and not yours. God did that. And when I allowed him, his watch, I'm watching it, his watch. When I receive the watch, I sanctify it. Of all the watches, this is sanctified, made holy. It's my watch. What for? To tell time. God received me as a Savior that he might show himself in a wonderful, wonderful way. God wants to be found in your heart and mine. That's what it's about. And God is doing that wonderful thing to be able to know and to show that relationship in an awesome way. And that's what God's going to do. And therefore, verse 23 again, whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Spirit, hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Because you can't have the Son without the Father. You can't have the Father and the Son without the Spirit of God. You must have all of God's awesome person to enjoy God's saving grace, to enjoy being saved. I don't understand. It's just done. Like we shared in Sunday school, the pew is the pew, and you're sitting on it. You don't make it the pew. You believe it's the true. And believe is an active verb. When you believe, you're resting down in that pew, letting the pew be the pew, letting God be God, letting God's word be God's word. You don't make any of it. You're able to benefit by it by believing on the pew and sitting down. And you let the pew be the pew. Let God be God. Let his word get to your head and heart and lock it all in. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And here we are. So help us a little bit. We need a lot, actually. But help us a little bit as we go down the corridor here, that we might have understanding. And God, that's the whole ball game, to be able to know why we're able to talk to you and trust you and have a wonderful, wonderful what way to know what, that you know, Father, if anyone can take care of these little hearts, you can. If anyone cares and loves them and wants them to be all that you have in mind, No one competes with you. There is no competition. You alone, not even our own heart, will do it. No one can do it. No one cares that much. No one's able to do anything, but you are. And we're to give you the glory and the credit. You said, without faith, believing you are who you are, simply because all the evidence is there, and therefore, God, we're going to let you be who you are. We're going to thank you very much for dying on the cross and taking us and paying the penalty. Thank you for rising again and giving us the life that you have, the resurrected life that you have made possible. You've become a human like us, that we can enjoy your wonderful person, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Thank you, thank you. Spirit of God, deal with our heads and hearts even now. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.